on that fast group, January
6th, 2013. Which styles it? This one, actually?
Yeah.
I just grabbed both of them. He said, I don't know which it is. He's the cheapest standard.
There should be one.
Yeah, okay.
It's like I'm not down because I don't know what my phone number is.
That's right.
Graph as opposed to all of them at once. At least now you can proportion.
So you got juice.
Tom's the only person who ever calls my work phone. Charlie. You and Charlie are the only two people. Yeah. Every time the phone rings, I know it's you or Charlie.
The half time I suddenly like, oh, what's that?
Sure.
The worst thing is my computer still will not pop when I put Aaron in. It still will not pull up your email. I was like, crap.
That's frustrating, isn't it?
And I was like, oh, what is it? I don't know.
So
I
just put her in the contacts and she's there. You know that.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't show up. It's like, I can go through, if I go through all my contacts.
Have you checked to make sure that you've got her first name display first in that order?
I have not. Surprisingly enough, that's...
If it's in there with her last name first...
You have to put in Cooper for it to pop up. Is that
because
there's some people who don't pop up when I put them in, and I wonder
check,
if that's
check
why.
And
actually, Dave's standing on the
file as. There's a box with file as.
And it's first name, last name, first name.
Just about three or four or five lines down from the top.
Of ooh, sockeye. Awesome. Dad gave me some of the sockeye. Sweet.
Better have some of that.
Yeah.
What do I have here for
that? Spread Chinook, fall Chinook. You got the chum.
Okay.
I didn't bring any lamprey.
That's fine with me.
No, my dad, I just did a, he had some sockeye. I had a bunch of fall Chinook that I got in a can with my dad.
All right, which is sockeye.
In spring. That little difference there.
I've got it. Okay.
Want a taste?
What's that?
I'll bring
a
little of it.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Just got finished last weekend, so.
Thank you so much.
I like, had like 20 packages of this in my fridge right now.
Sweet.
What? Sorry, I didn't get your calls. I just turned my phone on just now. Sorry.
Through you.
That's better than
mine. Okay,
well, I was at my desk. Yeah.
It's like smoked butter.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, Gary, do you want to start with the questions that we're looking at?
Well, these are fairly basic, but I just wanted to kind of sort of structure the discussion a little bit and boil it down to the what I think are probably the most pertinent questions. And I think in general, looking at the juvenile side of the issue at Powerhouse 2, we agree that cutting back from the high end of 1% to the mid-range of 1% probably isn't a detriment. It's equivocal. Dave, you saw it.
Isn't a detriment to what?
To juvenales. To the turbines. I'm sorry. I need
to get everybody to sit down here.
Turbine passage versus the bypass passage, the two issues. So if we thought that by changing turbine operations to improve bypass passage that we cause a larger detriment to juveniles passing through the turbines, you wouldn't want to do it. And I think based on what we saw in Mississippi, I'm not too concerned about that. I wouldn't go to 1% operation, the low end, but going from the high end to the mid-range.
You didn't see it.
I wouldn't think that there's enough difference in turbine passage to erase the benefits that we would get through the bypass system.
For do you have a feeling how much you'd want to degrade going from high end to one? To
I wouldn't go from mid to low. I think Dave and I both agree we didn't want to go there. So it's just that.
Well, I'm saying from a modeling standpoint, how much do you want? Do you want to degrade the two, or say I can't tell because
I can't tell. So I'm kind of moving past that to what I think the real questions are.
I know. I'm just saying, but if we're going to put numbers in here,
I know.
We're going to have to be able to defend it
before we get to this thing.
Okay. Before we get to the monster.
Before we get to this thing, what I just want to do is kind of shape a question that I think that really the question is going to be an adult passage question, and there's three levels of that. There's the number of adults that are out there, period. If there's very low numbers of adults out there, then I don't think we have a concern with going to the mid-range operation.
As long as the juvenile benefits are there.
Right. So, we're seeing that there's a juvenile benefit of doing that in the gate well. So I would say start the season there. If we don't think there's enough adults in the river, no matter what happens to fallback, there's not enough adults in the river to really cause us concern, then we would start there. So that argues at what point numbers of fish, numbers of probably adult spring chinook in the river, do we start getting concerned? 42 is what I heard from our Oregon rep here. So 42 is the number.
Wow.
Meaning the
going once? No, I mean, I think looking at the numbers of how many fish are out there and how concerned you feel about whatever's going on with the project, and it's going to be a small effect anyway, but you know, if there's only 50 fish out there, I would say not too worried. As we start getting past that number, maybe 100, you know, you start getting more and more worried about it. So I think that's
the color version of these.
Oh yeah,
a lower limit, and then as you go up, you're starting to move more flow over the first powerhouse. So the next limit would be what proportional change in flow from powerhouse two or total powerhouse flow to powerhouse one do we feel uncomfortable with because of increasing risk of fallback. So that's the next
change in flow from two to one.
Well, from of all the powerhouse passage, all the powerhouse flow that's going on out there, once you start shifting that percentage to powerhouse one, we know fallback goes up. No question about that. We've seen that over and over again. At what point do we say, you know, too much? And it becomes a limit. You know, these are triggers, basically. There's three triggers. There's a trigger in numbers of fish that are available to be impacted. There's the trigger in risk of fallback because of the shift in flow to powerhouse one and the increase in fallback. And then the next level is going to be way up there, and that's going to be a spill flow. As we start increasing spill above the 100 kcfs normal spill, how much additional spill flow risk of fallback do we think is too much? So, you know, and that's going to be in those situations, I think, where you're into, I mean, I think it's too much if you're in the low end, but as you go higher and higher in spill, it's going to be more and more, less and less risky, because there's already so much spill that additional 15K, which is really what we're talking about, is going to not make, yeah.
Well, no, there gets to be a certain point where the amount of fallback, I mean, because honestly, you got to remember, our original spill volume to deal with fallback for bottom was 75. So we're already exceeding that by going to the 100.
Yeah.
Now the question is, incrementally above that, how much more?
Where do you go, okay, this is...
So what you're really saying is it's the proportion of spill based on the total volume of spill?
Right. It's actually a Q. I mean, it's going to be we're at 100
K. Is it a Q or a spill Q?
It's a spill Q. So that's there's a spill Q trigger, there's a proportion of flow that goes through powerhouse one trigger, and there's an overall numbers of fish trigger. And those are backwards. I mean, basically, you look at the overall number. Okay, now we're worried. You look at how much flow you're shifting over to powerhouse one. Now we're worried. And then how much flow is going to spill.
Now you're really worried.
We're worried, and then pretty soon we're not so worried because there's nothing that's going to affect. So I kind of see this as something that we would automatically start early in the season. You do it up until you hit that kind of that risk of numbers of fish and flow that's being shifted to powerhouse one, and then you would stop doing it. And then for a period of flow, you wouldn't do it until you got to a high flow. Then you're in a situation where doing it doesn't matter. And so you go back to going back to protecting the juveniles as much as you can in the second powerhouse.
So are you seeing there a threshold, or is it just a sliding scale? you're starting at 100 kcfs, you add 15K in spill, you're increasing it. That's the greatest amount of increase.
Right.
But then...
Less and less. What's your trigger point?
Do you see that as a sliding scale or just continuous? Or is there a point at which you...
There'd be a point.
You think there'd be a point?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think that's what we need to find here. Because otherwise this could be so complicated you drive yourself nuts. But I'm thinking that there's some flow where we'd say, for instance, the first one is how many fish? Well, 50, 100, you know, let's make a call there. It's a judgment call. Then the next level is going to be as you shift, let's say we're running... 30 kcfs, which is how much we take away from powerhouse 2, over to powerhouse 1, and that's all we're running over there. No more. We're just running another unit or two units. Is that enough to be concerned about? If it's not, then we go ahead. The next increment, as that starts to go up and up and up, you might say, now we're running too much flow over here. We're kicking a lot of fish over there. They're getting into the Bradford Island merry-go-round. We better shift back to powerhouse, shift that flow back to powerhouse 2, go from the midpoint operation back up to the 1%, and
we're going to leave it there until, you know, we get to that really high flows where it doesn't matter anymore. And so those are the three triggers I see as, you know, allowing, you know, we watch those as we go through the season. We do one thing, we do another thing, and then we do another thing. And that's, you know, that's a very, very simplified way of putting it. But I think, you know, if you can answer those three questions, you've got your operation. So if Trevor's model, then
Bypass
will kind of help us. Yeah.
Trev Stein.
Try to help us through those trigger points.
Trevenstein.
Trevenstein. That one's going to stick.
Trevenstein. Okay, well, that's better than Simpass.
So with that introduction.
You kept me up late last night with that one.
So basically all the model's doing is it's just trying to relate juveniles and adults, get them on some even playing field. Obviously adults more valuable than a single juvenile. So it relates those two through an average SAR. And so what we do is we run through a set of juvenile survivals and proportion of passage through roots. So here's your survival. So you got JBS, V2, spill, turbine. And then you run those through. And this particular data is from 2010 performance test.
Thank you.
That's in here. And then it basically multiplies those by the juvenile proportion through those same roots. And then it sums that data in this blue section over here and creates this concrete number, 95.5, which is equivalent to about what they were seeing. And then you make a change to that in the red here, what you think your new survival, or say we're going to increase spill. Say if we had, you know, the hand of God, we could increase spill by 0.06. And hit that. You see in the blue it changed to 0.995 as our new spill number. That would result in a relative improvement metric, which is basically, if you're just looking at juveniles, it's your increase in concrete survival of 0.03. So that's basically how the juvenile side works. It's real simple. It just takes what was there, you make a change, and it takes what's there now, 3%? Multiplies it, subtracts the difference, and puts it into a relative improvement metric. Okay, and then it gets down to the adults, where...
And what's the, is there an assumed proportion by route somewhere?
Yeah, so that's this line here, the proportions.
Okay.
JBS,
so how, if you are increasing spillway survival by 6%,
yeah,
you're doing that without changing the proportion of passage?
Well, I'm just saying, if I had the hand of God, I would do that. But yeah, I could do the same thing.
No, I think what Rick is saying, you're increasing spill.
You're doing
survival.
Something to change spill.
I'm making it so there's that. There's no...
He's increasing survival.
Yeah, increasing survival by saying there's no predators or something like that. I'm taking the rebar out of the spillway. I could do the same thing with passage, too.
But if you change the spill volume, you're going to change the proportion. Is there a way to...
Right here you can modify the proportion. So I could say instead of 52% of this fish going through the spillway, there's now an additional 20% on top of that.
Could be. Yeah. Well, these are just like total wild ass guesses.
Yeah. But I would have to take that from
somewhere else.
Say, so I'd go negative 0.1 here. And then I would go negative 0.1 here, for instance. And then that would be your metric. So, but that's not...
You didn't hardwire this all in? You didn't hardwire this all in and automatically did this? Where's your if-then statements? Come on, man. I expected better.
See, I'm not going to spend that much time on this.
Yeah. Okay. You need to Frederickize this.
So that's what we...
Yeah, that's what we'll do that.
So we'd see a decrease in survival if we did something like that.
You understand.
So I'm going to make this
done it. Real.
So that's just the juvenile side. Is everybody kind of tracking on how that works?
Yeah, I mean,
back to the right again, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay.
Yeah. We had a blue one at
the
end.
Yeah, so that's the product of those, okay, of the survival and the proportions, and then they're summed up for your concrete survival. And it takes the difference between these two and says what the difference is.
Is the bottom one what is current?
The top one is what is current. The bottom one is what you have proposed.
It's the change, the resulting change.
Yep.
So this relative impact, is that
with the SARS, that's the impact on adult returns, or that's the impact on juvenile?
That's the impact of once you convert adults to juveniles using a SAR, so every adult is equal, you know, divided by the SAR,
okay,
is equal to how many juveniles, and those juveniles are on the same page now.
Okay,
you
do, so we're looking like one kind of fish unit.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not only one.
Adult equivalency?
Yes. That's why it's relative improvement metric. I don't want...
Juvenile equivalency is really...
Yeah.
Okay.
We're taking all adults and converting to juveniles.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So which... it'd be nice if you footnoted the study where you're getting your SAR rates from and all that sort of
stuff.
Yeah,
I did. The SARs are coming from the Northwest Science Center that we get on an annual basis. So we're using 0.01. I have that data down here. SAR somewhere. So this is what we get from our science center.
Okay.
On an annual basis.
So it's there to check. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, so we have these wide variations, and we're just going to use public.
So. And you can play with that. I mean, you can see how much that changes things, because it's obviously going to vary within a year.
Yeah, that's the whole problem is going to be the sensitivity analysis, and this is going to be...
Yeah, real. Every one of these things varies quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so the adult side of it, I took, instead of just survival and proportion, they have your fallback rates... You have your proportion based on ladder count, so how many are at Bradford on average, we're looking in this particular year, 2010. During the period of time that the performance standard test occurred, we had 26% of the fish go to Bradford Island and 73% of the fish go to Washington Shore. And you take the fallback, which I averaged because that's averaged over 4 years, I saw about a 7% fallback at B1 and a 3.3% fallback at Washington. Those two are related to adult escapement, which is from a U of I study, and I have that information, fallback escapement, where they looked at over a period of time, you know, the fish's survival to a final destination, whether it's a hatchery or it's a tributary mouth or something like that. And in the first years from 96 to 2002, they had a bunch of unknown groups. And then in 2000 to 2002, they had some known source groups. So I took that data and I averaged that since it was known source and I wouldn't be looking at like Willamette fish or something like that. And estimated what their escapement would be once they fell back. And based on that data, it was a pretty stark difference. A fallback fish had a 75% probability of making it, and a non-fallback fish had a 90%. It's a little less for steelhead. Steelhead was, fallback was 82%, and a non-fallback was 90%. So all that gets kind of multiplied together, and then it gets related to juveniles. With this adult abundance ratio, because you have to consider the number of adults that are present, you wouldn't have an effect if there weren't adults present, so you have to consider that ratio, and then divide that by the SAR to get the future juvenile metric, which is here, and then those get subtracted to give your relative improvement metric. This right here is a bad number because it's Smolt index. But I don't know what else to use. Smolt index isn't necessarily directly related to abundance because of flows. But that's what I use, and if anybody's got a better idea, you know, we can pump that in there. But the data is really, when you change this number, like say instead of 0.01, I had a 0.000001 adult ratio, that has a big effect on how this thing works because obviously you're not going to have many adults to affect. So that's it in a nutshell. I know it's complicated. I've had my nose in it for a while, and so it makes sense to me, but you guys just saying, like, what the hell is this?
No, it makes sense.
Okay. So what I do is I just run through and I make a change to survival and proportion, and I kind of estimate what I think is going to happen, and then I make a change to adults, what I think is going to happen based on some situations, and I see what happens to this relative improvement metric. Is it negative or positive? Sit there and play around with the numbers until I have less of an understanding than I had when I started.
Yeah, there's so many variables.
Yeah.
So how do you envision using this? You're thinking of like selecting a range of values for different parameters and just trying to go through with a sensitivity analysis?
So figure out how we're going to do this with flow.
First, to run through it, I would like to just have people provide input.
I'm going to lay out some what ifs here.
Get an idea and say what they think is going to change. We'll go through these red values and everybody say, you know, I think that's a good number, I don't like that number, and just we'll put a number in and we'll see what happens. And then...
One of the questions that was raised earlier was the performance standards values were obtained at certain turbine operation conditions.
Right.
Have we been able to figure out what those are yet? Yeah. Be able to, you know, say where we are in that, you know, mid-range to upper range range?
The thing about it is every one of these values is impacted by flows, and that's where you really
It's a real mess.
Yeah, because everything's impacted by flows. So once we do that to just that particular thing, you're gonna have to do that to everything.
Well, I think the main question is on the current the 98.1. That's from 2010.
Yes.
So, and then the question is, did we do anything in 2010? Was that all like under midpoint operation?
Right.
That's really the only question, because then you're pretty comfortable with that number.
I mean, I can change this number if we were looking at, say, we're looking at just a week where we saw really poor survival in the juvenile bypass system. I can change this number if you have data to back it.
Well, mostly the only reason I'm saying the 98.1 is because that way we know how we vary that. Because if we're going to start playing with, like, okay, let's now go to upper end of 1%. How do we know we subtract that from the 98.4 fully? Because if we're going to use Lyle-Breth's numbers to kind of like ground truth how we're modifying the B2 operations, it's kind of, if the JBS had that already in there, then you get a full credit. Or if it didn't, then you can use full grab it the whole way. And that's that really
how do you credit the
because that really kind of is going to drive that's going to drive the juvenile side, and then this whole flow proportion thing, what do you do with adults, that stuff's going to drive the other side, and that's kind of really going to be the two big things we're going to be looking at, saying this operation makes sense to do, or oh wait a minute, maybe it doesn't.
Right.
So really the question is, Brandon, when you looked at this, did you happen to see in 2010? Because the operation, it's usually April 20th to May 20th, would be the question.
I have something on that.
I'm guessing in 2010, they probably ran at midpoint the whole way through because they had plenty of capacity at Powerhouse 1.
No, they didn't, because we have analyses for 2010.
And what did they
show? We averaged 87.7K at Powerhouse 2 in 2010 and 25.6 at
during
Powerhouse
the test?
1.
During the test.
Test. Yeah. And I...
What does that tell us?
Yeah, well, I've got. You mean that one? I've got the just.
So that deals here is power. You're a typical powerhouse speed priority. I don't know if you're really high, but you're up.
No, the 80's not. I mean, what are we talking? Normal flow through powerhouse 2's 110.
Well, 130
minus 11 units.
1% or if you're at the.
What's what I'm saying? If you're at midpoint, if you're at upper
it's
end,
about
you're
at midpoint.
Yeah,
it's about 130 at the upper.
So 130 is the most you can put through.
Well, I mean, I need the raw data, but the point is, for the spring migrants like Yearling Chinook, I did the analysis in 2010. So it means I had some data points in the greater than 95% operating above the mid-range.
Yeah.
I likely had more than just three, or else I probably wouldn't have done it.
Well, I'm thinking...
I don't know how many...
What it was, over 90%?
Right, greater than 95%.
Of the time?
Operating above...
Of the units up,
how many days in the data set that I had did we have more than 95% of the units operating above the mid-range?
Okay.
And the fact that I even included that year in the analysis means I had some days. How many, I don't know, but I wouldn't have included it if it was just
a
couple here and there.
No, I'm thinking...
Oh, I have it. It's just not... Here.
No, I mean, and looking at the 2010 flow data that Dave gave us in his adult graphs, it looked like that happened kind of late May on is when you were seeing those. The test was done by then.
Yeah,
the test was done around the 20th. By May 20th, where is it done? So I'm betting in 2010, when you looked at it and when the form test is not overlapping, that's just something we need to do a quick double check on if we're going to start using the 98.1 as. And say, okay.
I can change that.
Well, no, I'm just saying, because I mean, we kind of want to have a number in there, because if we're going to start saying, okay, let's go to upper end of 1% and make that change, because then you know.
Which in theory would actually explain a little bit as to why Julian Day for Yearling Chinook came out as a significant factor in that year, because if they they did all occur at one time.
And
that would show up.
And looking at Dave's graph of proportion of flow through powerhouse 2 and discharge, that seems to be the case. But I don't have the raw data from you to verify one way or the other. All I have is a pretty graph that Dave put together. So, I mean, otherwise, I think we could just leave the 90.1 for now. I just need to double check that and see if we're comfortable with that. Because I'm saying if we are going to degrade that number,
did you write that?
Then I want to make sure.
Well, to use Gilbert's, we have to put 0.04 in there for
exactly.
That.
0.04
for here, because that's the difference between mid to upper.
Mid to upper.
Upper. Yeah, and which puts us over. But if you can live with that. It doesn't really blow things up or not, then it just it says you're going to have a 0.2%.
Well, no, see, this is my point, is that what I'm saying is, I'm saying if the 90.1 was all done at the midpoint, then we'd say, that is basically we're already there. It's right. Only if we want to say, okay, now let's go and say we're not going to run, right. We're going to above the midpoint, then we would subtract it. Because otherwise, you know, I'm not doing the magic Skalski numbers of over 100%.
Yeah, okay.
I've given him enough grief, yeah. I don't want to be... Call too hypocritical.
I mean, we could say, you know, during that period, if it was 0.9, would you be more comfortable doing something like that?
Well, if that's 4% subtraction, that's my point. As I'm saying, it's like we use 98 as our base for midpoint, and then if we're not going to be at midpoint, right. Then we go to the 94.
Yeah,
is exactly. The only way I'm doing it. That way we keep okay. Everything kind of consistent.
There was the mean.
Exactly.
Okay, again, the analysis I did is just sample mortality.
I know.
Yeah.
All we're doing with
mortality in the lower lower levels of operating above the mid range was in the 0.5% range. Once you got to the greater than 95% operating above the mid range, that mortality went up to about 2.
Yeah. For spring Chinook.
Or you.
So went up to about 2 from 0.5?
0.5.
0.562. So Brandon, the only reason I'm using your memos, that's just justification that, yes, we can now quantify that, yes, when we operate most of these things, there is an increase in mortality. Wow, that was the critical scary. Thing you had to have.
No, I totally agree.
That's scary right there.
So let's say this scales was a little bit off, and this was 0.90,
which
and we
one?
Can put Brandon's 0.2 in here, just theoretically speaking.
Oh, yeah, but look, powerhouse 2 with nothing. We basically should offer well, power us too.
The proportion.
Oh, it's 0.15, right?
There's three of them.
We need to have that proportion put out.
There's a whole bunch. 1.5%.
To be able to look at the
negative
0.01 fraction.
Okay.
I don't think there is. I think it's pretty messy.
Well,
0.0. It seems like as soon as you get even a little bit of power us 1, you need to go like to 26%
proportion. So the way I'm looking at this is maybe the proposed change that we're going to do. I don't think we're going to propose to...
There's too many here. I don't know
if but if we're proposing to operate at the upper end, that is the proposal.
Yeah, we can look at it.
That's what we're trying to test.
Well, what I was looking at this was we're going from upper 1% current operations to mid-range.
As soon as we get to
this is actually the mid-range.
And that would basically be any flow over
100. It sounds like...
The test was done in a period, especially since it was 2010.
That's the question.
Bypass,
I was thinking it probably would. He wouldn't want to put another 30K for a 15K.
I was looking.
Well, no, it's not 30. What about 30K?
Well, we don't know.
Yeah.
Because all we know is
once you have 2 units going on power small, 1 or 2 units,
what's the sensitivity? We need to know.
If
that's true,
it's
not an issue.
If it isn't true, all this stuff, don't forget all this stuff. It's
2002.
So
we're saying nothing for B2. Gary, nothing for B2, survival, no change.
It's what you're comfortable with. Drop the.
Yeah. Yeah, I leave that.
So where we are, Tom, is we started saying that this 98 survival is if we're at. Mid-range?
The 2010 test appears to have taken place during mid-range.
Okay. So then we went up to, now we're going to pretend that we're going up to
upper end of 1%, and what is this going to do? And so we looked at a decrease in survival based on Brennan's work of a negative
1.5%. So which species are we going to, what species are we going to deal
this
with?
Here? Chinook.
So it's for yearling Chinook.
Yeah. So with no change in B2, everybody's comfortable with that survival. No change in spill survival, I think. Everyone's comfortable
when
with that.
When you say B2, you're saying B2, is that turbine?
Turbine.
Yeah. It's not for spring Chinook. Steelhead would be the only ones I think you might. And yeah. Even then, what are you going to put?
Between those two operating ranges, I don't think there's a difference.
No.
Not that you can measure anyway.
No. It's going to overlap. B1 turbines? Especially with the new ranges Jim Keel proposed, I don't see there's going to be a difference in turbine survival B1.
I would say no difference. If I said that, I'd get shot down by Russ Kiefer, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
And then you wouldn't change B2 corner collector.
No.
We're not doing anything new there. I shouldn't trust sluice. I don't think, if anything, we'd probably make it better.
Well, more flow would make
more
it better.
More flow.
Where is the flow going in this particular?
Well, if you're going from mid-range to upper range, you're putting more water through the turbine.
Yeah. You're putting it, well, right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, upper, yeah.
So you're putting more water through B2 turbines, that'd be less through B1.
So less through.
Likely less through.
But which could potentially make
the corner collector would stay relatively the same, though.
Oh, corner collector is exactly the same. It has nothing to do with this.
Yeah. Yeah. The portions could change.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the question. Now the question is, how do
you more through the JBS, so you would expect the proportion more passing through the JBS thing.
How much more through RS2 at this point?
So if it's proportional to total flow, what's the change in flow?
There you go. What is the flow?
We don't know. We just changed it. How much flow do you have to put through
mid range? We were talking, it was at 85 or.
Yeah, you basically, it's going to be 30K. If you have a full up,
so what's the proportion of 30K 30. Over 85 or total?
A total of 85?
Yeah, it's 47%.
If you've gone from 120 to 85. This is going to be
35.
Horrible.
So that's a
okay. So we don't have anything that tells us what the proportion passing is.
Powerhouse two,
how that changes with the 35% increase.
Flow of RS2? It's usually 1-to-1.
It's 1-to-1.
Yeah, if you just assume it's.
So 0.065 divided by 0.35.
What's that? What?
0.065 divided by 0.35.
17%.
That seems right.
70% change in by 30K.
What? 30K increase in flow through powerhouse 2 would result in 17% passage to the bypass system. Total river passage.
A change.
Yeah,
change. I don't know. That's why I build models.
Yeah, that's why I build some pass.
Yeah.
Because all those things are going.
Well, and the problem is then you also have flow because.
Well, where's all your flow going? What's the proportion that's at powerhouse 2? When you change that powerhouse 2, how does that change the proportion of flow? That changes directly the proportion.
Because basically it's a 1-to-1 ratio, but it's all based on proportion of flow. Wow. So if you're like at 200, we have almost no flow at powerhouse 1, this will have, I could see a 70% change. But if we're like at powerhouse 1 is basically almost fully loaded, powerhouse 2 is fully loaded, and spills 100, then you're going to have almost no change. And that's what all
powerhouse percentage.
This is only an issue
and above.
Higher.
Yeah.
225 or higher.
Yep.
Actually, 230 if you count the ladders and all that.
And 5K through the corner block.
So
we're, yeah.
Anything below that thing, you don't really need to consider.
I'm not
following. Because you can maintain mid-range. At 230 KCFS or below, you can maintain mid-range and there's not an issue. If we don't have too much water,
that's
we don't
exactly
have to worry about where to put it.
Okay. Yeah. So that's, you just establish that. Now,
that's
how much
the bottom
water,
point.
That's the bottom point. Now, now you're starting to go to first powerhouse.
Yeah, and okay. And that's really the question for me.
How many
is,
K do you want to send over
but
there?
But it's not even
it's
that,
too much.
Because then you can go to first powerhouse up to a certain point and have no effect, right? You can still maintain mid-range, turn on the first powerhouse up to mid-range.
Well, you go to level 1%.
Are you talking adults or juveniles? Because from
an
adult standpoint, you're starting the merry-go-round as soon as you start it.
That's really
the
question.
That's where the hit is. That's what I'm thinking. At juveniles, I'm not even worried about.
I mean, because honestly, you could basically go. Once you go to fully power, and that's the thing. I think there's going to be that point between there and powerhouse 1 fully loaded to the 1%.
Well, okay, so here's what I'd like to see, and this is what Dave was putting together. But I'd like to see, I mean, these graphs are good, except I can't really see the proportion, the functional response of adults to the shift in flow. So if we can look at
the is that what I haven't seen that yet, but that's the key.
Yeah, that's the proportion of powerhouse one to total.
Is it really a scatter? It's like there's no relationship with the numbers of fish that are going to that side versus flow to that side. If there isn't, then I'm going home.
It's a shotgun.
If it's a shotgun, then we're kind of dead in the water.
Check breaking out from years.
How many juvenile or how many adults do you want to kill?
We know there is an effect because we saw, like, when we had powerhouse one priority.
Go back to fallback for a quick second.
This was our percentage of fallback.
There is
in the project.
Yeah, but that's just how many fell back.
Right, but that's still, it's hit.
There's what we're talking about is how many even go. I mean, there's the shotguns.
It's
scatters.
And the other problem is, in 2001,
even go there.
In 2001, we can't really use that because we only spilled 50K at Bonneville that year. So that's that's not even close to what we do normally.
But it wasn't very different from 02 and 03 either.
Yeah, those are, well,
there's a clear response of shifting priority from Powerhouse 1 to Powerhouse 2. We've shown that over and over and over again.
Yeah, honestly, the only thing that's scary, though, even with almost zero flow, like in 2010, which is the 1 year where we had continual almost no flow through Powerhouse 1, we still had at least 20 to almost 30% of the adults using it.
Okay, that's they're going to be there, but are
you... Yeah, too bad September is the problem, child.
That's not the question. I'm not worried about September. Are you, by putting more flow there, whatever the base case is, are you increasing the number of fish that go through that powerhouse? Or is it total scatter? They go there whether the flow's there or not. I don't believe that because that's not what our data is showing us.
No, and that's the thing is, like, I don't know if we can find a cut point.
That's the key.
I know.
You want to know how many more fish you're sending over. If you truly think there's absolutely no effect, then you wouldn't worry about, you'd leave the second powerhouse derated the whole time. But if you think that you're sending more adults to their deaths over there, then you've got to think about shutting down that operation and going back to full Powerhouse 2 operation. I mean, that's...
Well, we have this original memo by
that's the magic number,
which showed there was an increase, like a 2% increase in fallback from 80 to 115K through Powerhouse 1. 2% increase in fallback.
And that.
See, that was interesting too, because when I took a look at those values, I was excited to see that. But I guess some of the conclusions that I had on that I thought were concerning is that if I read that memo correctly, it was citing that there wasn't a big impact on adult springers, but there was an impact on adult steelhead. But the only thing I wanted to offer up to that is when I looked at the end zone of what the bookend was for quantifying that, it was beyond the scope of the time when we were implementing these special operations. And I guess I'm confused because when I that all of this special operation that we did, it pretty much all sunsetted on June 6th, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I guess
that's a spring.
Could you speak to that? Because I guess my main concern, I think I'm here today, and I'm glad everybody's doing all this work because I really
because you're not
looking at the retention issue. But I guess help me understand how. If we're going to thread the needle that the, because when I read the memo, I heard there wasn't a real clear correlation with reascension associated with adult Chinook. I did hear the correlation with steelhead, but I guess I'm confused because steelhead passage didn't really ramp up until we were pretty much done. And then it ramped up, and we were done, and then we had a correlation. So that bothered me because then I thought, well, maybe the correlation is more a function of high rates of.
I think you're reading way too much into the adult stuff. The adult stuff was basically just purely looking at, like, flow and spill. We weren't even... I don't think you guys tied it at all to Power 2 operation.
Okay, well, when I read
you didn't even look at that. They're just saying, like, we see a difference in fallback ascension rates as flow, i.e. spill, changes?
No, the Powerhouse 1, too.
Powerhouse 1, and you guys did Powerhouse 1, too.
It's the interchange between Powerhouse 1 and spill is what we were looking at.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll take a look at the conclusion statements, but I thought what I read in there was a pretty clear statement that said... Operation of Powerhouse 1, best geometry, more flow. Reascension was more problematic. for steelhead adults. And
well, which one did you read? Did you read the memo that came out later, or did you read the two single memos?
There was the 40-pager and the 4-pager or something.
Read the 4-pager.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of steelhead adults, but there, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But the ones that were there responded significantly to the extra flow.
Yeah,
which you have to consider.
My only comment on that, the extra flow that you would consider, was a function of involuntary spill. It wasn't a function of best geometry operation, and we weren't doing it.
Yeah, well, we weren't caring about that. We're just trying to say, like, what is the fallback rate, and does it change with spill? Because if we know what we're doing, if we are knowingly going to put another 15K through the spillway, whether it was through involuntary or through other things, does that have an effect? That's really the question. And the only way we could really get at that was taking a look at what actually happened and the fallback numbers we had. So if we know that, like, oh my God, as soon as we increase spill 10 over 100, we're going to see this effect. If we do or don't, that's the question we need to ask. And that's why, as managers, then we ask ourselves, is that 10K or 15K that we're going to put through the spillway?
What's the risk?
What's the risk?
Or is it too much?
It just seemed like it was a moot point if it's coming down to there wasn't a discernible reascension impact that was quantifiable for adult Chinook core steelhead, then what we do or don't do at Powerhouse 1, to me, didn't seem to be the driving force. The driving force was involuntary spill. And what measurable, discernible impact might that have?
Well, if it's involuntary, then you can't control for that.
Involuntary?
Yeah, you just said involuntary.
Right.
Involuntary, we can't manage for that. But this is something we can manage for. I think we can concur that Powerhouse 2 at midpoint is better from a juvenile standpoint. The question is, if we keep it there, what is going to be the impact on adults? And is that a trade-off we're willing to make?
What Doug's saying is he doesn't think there's an impact to adults based on the FPC memo.
Well, and if there is,
but I have a hard time believing that for this reason, because if you look at, like, if you consider that B1 is fully loaded and Powerhouse 2 is loaded to the mid-range, that's essentially the same as what we used to run, well, I wasn't here, but you guys used to run, when you had priority B1. And there was significant fallback then.
It mostly depended on then was you ran P1 first, so 98 would be the 1 year. 96, 97, you had all powerhouses fully loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had close. And we had, well, yeah, and also don't forget, our spill was like, oh God, 200. Because that was 1997 were the flood years. We basically had, we were spilling the gun.
So you're thinking that these numbers are more due to the super high spill than they are.
Right, but that's what we had this year. We were spilling 220.
And do you know what the fallback rate was?
Right, and that's why I'm saying the measurable rate for steelhead was.
It's a reascension rate. But these are RT. We didn't have pit tag back then, so we can't take a look at what is 13% from an RT. How does that relate to a pit tag RT? We have no idea what 13% and their adult pit tag reascension rate was because we didn't have enough.
Well, they go and say in their paper that 94% of the fish that fell back reascended. That's known
from RT.
From RT.
The problem is we're using reascension rates from last year on pit tags. We're using two different methodologies, and I don't know.
But you can take those reascending fish and use that 94% rate and calculate how many fish you estimate to have fallen back.
Yeah, no, I'm saying you're absolutely right. And then the thing is, how does that number compare to 13.8 RT number? I don't know if RT fish, because a pit tag are probably an underestimate, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
because they have to reascend.
So. They have to reascend.
So,
well, with the RT fish, you can detect them downstream with a detection rate, and they may not resent. It doesn't matter. You know it passed over, because the way we wired it up, we knew if it passed over or not. And if the fish died down there, it didn't matter. It was still a fallback. Because we didn't look, I think, in 96, 97, 98. We didn't try to get to a known source or where it didn't make it to, because we didn't know where they're from.
No, not then.
So, I mean, this is just the problem. It's like, we don't have perfect data. You get a headache yet, Gary?
Yeah, looking at this is really... are these like every day that there was two fish, you had a 50-50, or?
That's all.
So the data points, I mean, every data point then becomes equally weighted if you do that.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit of a concern, because I don't know, you know, if you have 100 fish a day, then it starts to mean something. If it's one or two or 10.
Mm. Set a threshold?
Yeah, I'd set a lower threshold on a total number of fish passing, which cuts off the early period, which we don't care about anyway. You know, if you're only passing 10 fish a day, that we're not worried about that.
Those are the 10 that come back last
night. Yeah. So that's fine, though, but we're not going to hurt those guys.
Seems like early April were around 50-100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These past couple years have been.
Yeah.
And we looked at, well, I don't know, were looking at 2009, I think.
What I don't want to do is walk away from this saying, geez, there's no difference. We don't care if we run Powerhouse 1 or not. All the data we've had up to date, up to now, says, oh, you don't want to do that. You run Powerhouse 1, you get more fish falling back. I mean, we've said that for years. That's been the data from the RT. But looking at this, it looks like, you know, as Brandon says, a shotgun blast. And, well, you know, I mean, it's zero Powerhouse flow. We got 60% of the fish.
Really? I feel like it's that. I mean, because 2010 is the only year you have fairly long, consistent zeros. And at that, you're saying that you're having, looks like in the 20s to 30% of the fish are using Powerhouse 1, which is not unexpected.
Well, I'm trying to see if there's an inflection in here where, you know, let's say at 20 to 30%, you start seeing a real...
Honestly, where it looks like when you get around to... There was that point in around early June when Powerhouse 1 went up and got fully loaded. At that point, it looks like a proportion went up in the 40s. So what the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
What am I doing with that?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Because I look at these individual graphs, and I do see responses of fish to increases in Powerhouse 1 flow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see some jumps in there, so that doesn't seem to be reflected in this. So I'm wondering, how can we massage this to make it reflect what we see in the actual, the other data, without messing, you know, I don't want to give a false impression here, but is this giving us a false impression? It just seems to me that it's, yeah, looking at it, I'd say, well, okay, let's forget Powerhouse. And if that's the case, then it's, in my mind, you run with a mid-range of Powerhouse 2.
Up to 235.
Up to, well, your spill starts to become a problem.
Yeah.
And once the spill starts to become a problem, then you might want to back off a little bit until spill's uncontrolled and out the window, and then
so
you put it back on again.
So spill's a problem for what?
For fallback. You start seeing an increase in fallback, say... You know, you're running Powerhouse 1 up to fully loaded. You have your 100K spill. Now you start adding 10, 20, 30K spill. Those first portions of spill are probably going to be important to have an effect. As you get more and more spill with everything else loaded, it's going to be less and less effect to a point where you're going to go, whatever. You know, go back to your limitation. 30K back in spill is not going to matter to us.
Well, it's technically,
BPA would say, whoa!
Well, it's technically not even 30. It's like 15 Ks, because we've given them the allowance at Powerhouse 1 to go up an additional, probably about 17 Ks. So we're only really talking about 13 K.
Yeah, I haven't really even thought about open geometry. To me, that's kind of gone out the window. It's there, it's capacity, but of a limitation.
Not open geometry, but new tables that Jim Keel put in.
Oh, okay, I haven't looked at those two.
Yeah, we basically have coughed up about an extra 1.5, 1.7 per unit, 10 units. You're talking 15, 17 K through
Powerhouse
1.
At open geometry or at 1%?
That's the upper end of 1%.
Oh.
Because that's in the tables. Like, current is here with the new tables. I think we're allowed... He gave us like about 1.5 per unit.
I'm going to get Russ's attention.
I'm not going to stress about that. Now, the 30K, I would. So I'm saying, so we got 15K, so we're really only talking about flipping. What do we do with 15K of flow? 15, 13K. Are we really going to...
No, that's not quite right, because...
I don't think so.
What I'm talking about is when Powerhouse 1 is fully loaded, Powerhouse 2 is fully loaded, spill is fully loaded at 100K, now you want to bring Powerhouse 2 down 30.
Yeah, well, but
so that 30 can't go to Powerhouse 1 because you're at the top.
Well, no, you can put 15K through there, because the way that change form is written is you basically will run Powerhouse 1 under the current 1% range when you're trying to do midpoint.
That's fine. Then you're at fully loaded Powerhouse 1 with open geometry, and Powerhouse 2 fully loaded, upper 1%, and your spillway at 100K. Then you're taking 30 and putting it where?
Okay, well, see, my point is, the way they've got it written is you can be fully loaded Powerhouse 1 at 1%, Powerhouse loaded 2, you then have to subtract that 15, that can go to Powerhouse 1, now you've got this other 15 that goes to spill. I wouldn't say you go to Powerhouse 1, 2 fully loaded first, and then Powerhouse 1 gets to get to open geometry. Because the way that change form is written, it's not worded that way, that you can go to Powerhouse 1 anytime you want. You go to open geometry anytime you want. You can only do that when you're having trouble with Powerhouse 2.
At that time, you're prioritizing in that typical hopscotch fashion. How would you do it then? Could you say that?
Well, so basically, you do Powerhouse 2 up to...
Okay.
So Powerhouse 2 goes up to midpoint. Then you go to Powerhouse 1, and you keep going until you hit the 1%.
Okay, up to 1%. Got it.
Now, when you get to that, and then Powerhouse 2, if you want to keep it at that point, then the flow that would have gone to Powerhouse 2, you go another 15K up to upwind geometry Powerhouse 1.
And then Powerhouse 1 up to VG, best geometry, whatever
you're going to call it. That's like an extra 17K. And then the question becomes is, that next step. Where do you go with that next flow?
It's all in the scenario. You can paint all of these scenarios. I mean, it depends on
and that's really
how
good
the flow comes up and what you're doing.
Yeah, that's really the question. Go midpoint powerhouse 2. Powerhouse 1 goes to open to 1%. Then it goes to best geometry. Then what do you do? Then do you go to spill?
Yeah, you're saying that. Well, no. Actually, you go back. You would probably go back. If you're concerned about that extra spill going up from 100, it's going to cause more to fall back. Then you go back to powerhouse 2,
and this is my hiccup
of going back to spill.
Yeah, that's my hiccup of that is that do we know the difference between 100 and 120? We know the difference. We see there's a trend line. So that's my question. Is once you've got powerhouse 1... once you've got powerhouse 1 fully loaded, you're not going to change the number of delts going over there, and you're already well over your fallback rate benefit. So what do we think 100 to 115
fallback increase is going to be?
I don't know if I go there. I think that as you increase spill, it's probably going to go up.
It was at the upper end.
But that's the question. That's my third, number three on my list.
That's really the only one I've got. Is like, I mean, because once you've got powerhouse 1 fully loaded, you've got all the delts that you're going to have. You're already spilling 100, which is more than we shift from a fallback standpoint. Anyway.
But you can only say that if you believe this. There's, you know, at some point, do you want to run more flow through Powerhouse 1, or would you rather run Powerhouse 2 back up to the upper?
No, we just said that it wasn't.
If you don't think fallback changes, then yes. But if you think that you're going to all of a sudden get more and more fish going through the merry-go-round, then you're going to want to bring 2 back down, or back up, I mean, back up, and not run.
Yeah, but the only time it's going to work good,
Powerhouse 1.
The only time it's going to be a big benefit is when you have almost no flow of Powerhouse 1, so you can reduce the number of adults there. Once you've got more than a couple units on, you can have 40-50% of the adults there anyway, so they're going to be in the merry-go-round regardless.
Tom, that was the question, too. Mm-hmm.
What are we looking at?
That's the question.
Kind of. Would this be passage seasonal? Would this be spring, summer? What time? I mean, how's this being? How's this operation?
Well, that's what we need to work out.
I just laid out
on
there. What's our
scenario?
Some units, obviously.
If
I have any more left or not, I don't think so.
The question is steelhead an issue?
So what I'm hearing from you is if you did a steelhead.
This is the rate
was sensitive
to
spill and try to minimize
they used to see
whatever, but you did specific ops for example, for June zones where you've got to change recapture this or whatever, but targeting, biologically targeting the operation in the season, but then implementing that would be kind of tricky throughout the season, providing the project with that guidance. I could imagine in-season management of when you hit those inflection points of when you change a spring creek op to the adult Chinook op to an adult steelhead op. I think it might be tricky.
Well, I don't see an adult steelhead op here. I mean, they're just not going to be there. So I don't see it as a difference. I'm looking at it as... I mean, I don't know if you think there's a special spring creek
op. Actually, I would argue that I would assume your perspective on that is usually the midpoint of Powerhouse 2 at all costs, with all due respect to the service.
No, we're not going to go there.
Here's when
we'll get an argument
on
that. If you're killing listed fish that are adults passing up through Powerhouse 1,
when you're getting to a certain spill level, you're
if it becomes a point of getting a significant loss of adult salmon for the benefit
if you can do it under current
if you can list
the spring creek, you're basically saying as long as you keep it like under 100k, but if you had to say increase spill above it, that's when you're going to have issues. Because you basically have bought into the fallback rate at all.
Oh, yeah.
We have. That's the limit.
So it's 100 the limit or 120?
Yeah,
100.
And that makes sense because that's 100 or 120.
Well, 100 is our 100. Spill level at Bonneville Dam. That's
110, 120.
Well, this shows an increase.
That was all working. The reason we didn't pick it, because when I did the studies back then, at 110, we said there was, it was 110, we picked 100. At 110 above, there was a delay of, 6-8 hours? For fish getting into the rapid
line. It's a sea lion issue.
It was a sea lion. And then, it wasn't at first. It was like, we got a delay. Let's not worry about it. And then it was like, crap, we've got more sea lions there. Let's not delay the fish in front of there.
Right.
Now the question is, Because we basically have bought into, so we're going to accept the fallback level at 100K. As soon as we go above that, then you get issues of delay.
So basically, if it's a 1, right, powerhouse it's one, the same number of fish.
Somewhere, there's got to be an inflection where you're pulling more fish into the merry-go-round that you don't want in there. So, I mean, again, my three questions are, you know, the last two are the tough ones. It's the first one is kind of easy. Yeah, 50 fish, maybe we're worried. Okay, after that, the numbers start to
worry. And then it goes back down.
After that point...
Well, 50 fish in Paris 1.
I'm just saying 50 adults to the bottom of the day.
And so a proportion of 20 to Paris 1. So
no, I'm just saying that the one point, well, okay,
75. I don't know. That's why I'm saying this is like a problem. Where do you feel comfortable?
Right. That's it. You know, I don't have a problem with the number, percent, other than I think that there is a number.
So right now, I think we could all agree.
Pass the hat.
The one thing is, I think we could agree one thing is, I think up to about 235 in the river, we're comfortable, because we're saying, you got, as long as you spill at 100, and plus 80, or whatever you want to say, 100 through powerhouse 2, that's all midpoint. Up to that point, you run like this. Now the question is,
and then so that's 180.
That's 180. Now the question is, once you get beyond that, do you care if you go to Powerhouse 1? We can't, because we basically bought into, we're going to live with whatever is going through fallback rate at 100. So then basically we're saying, okay, we're fine until Powerhouse 1 is actually all the way up to 1%.
Right back to my question.
So basically, we're only talking about flows of what? Over 85, Powerhouse 2, 100 through the spillways, 185 plus, what, 110, 120 now through Powerhouse 1?
Multitasking.
Yeah, closer to 1.
When you guys make a decision, well, I'll type it down.
That's a good point. I'm thinking historically. You've got that additional, the Jim Keel stuff.
So it's 17. Okay.
What is
so that?
So it's 100, so say 117.
Say, what's it
so you're 117, 85 plus, 100 plus. So we're talking flows of 302. After 302, what do you want to do?
Well, but I still think that it's that after you load powerhouse to
there,
yep.
spill
100,
yep.
and
to 185.
Yes. 185, after that, what do you
mean? I was reading through that.
Well, we've pretty much bought into that. We're going to allow, because otherwise we're going to go back and totally change how we operate Bonneville.
Right. Powerhouse. That's what we're talking about.
On April 16th.
Yeah.
Do we want to run it's 30K.
Yep. So then it'd be a band from 185 to 205.
You've got a 30K capacity at Powerhouse 2 that you're not using.
Okay, so yeah. That was your going to
capture. You put an artificial limit there. You still use that capacity, but for the bypass concern. Then you got 100 spill.
Yeah.
And now you're going to go to Powerhouse 1, and you're saying, do we... want to run it at all, or should we fill up that 30K?
That's what I want.
Yeah, and so we're talking about 30K band. It would basically be between 185 and 205.
All right, I got to write these numbers down. I keep them lost.
Or exactly 215 technically.
Yeah,
so that would be your band.
2012.
And then you go start going over here
to Powerhouse 1. And my point is,
or do you go to Powerhouse 1 and let it go up to say 30K before you start cutting into that powerhouse to capacity?
Well, that's the question. I mean, looking from the graphs, it looks like as soon as you put on pretty much a little bit of flow of Powerhouse 1, the adults are responding.
So then you're kind of back to the limitation of saying you go ahead and increase Powerhouse 2, and now Powerhouse 1's coming up, and you're getting the response, you know the fish are going over there, then do you just bring this back down again? Would you leave it up at the top of Powerhouse 2?
Yes, we're losing the group here.
Well, no, I was hoping you guys are dealing with the adult fallback, and you guys can figure that out. Then Gary and I are talking about the operation, and then you guys can answer the question on the adult fallback.
So what's Powerhouse 2 fully loaded? What number are we on?
So midpoint would be 15K CFS times 7 units, or you could do 8. Powerhouse 2.
There's two of you.
I know. Clone. We've been doing Star Wars.
So you're saying 105?
Clone Wars. I would say...
So does that make you...
7 units at 18K CFS apiece. So
you're Powerhouse saying 105? Two.
Sure.
And plus 100.
Is the 15 plus 10 is targeted.
So 15, 7 times. Because you've basically now just written off unit 11. I appreciate that.
Oh, okay. That's
awesome.
Yeah. So we're talking 205 is our baseline.
What unit is that again?
So, yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's like the 13th floor in an elevator.
205 is midpoint and spill.
And spill. And so the
question. Did you get your miscellaneous? Wait,
yeah.
Oh,
okay.
So that's another 10. That's another 5 for it's like 210.
12.5 for miss, and then whatever you put for power.
5. So you're talking 217 then.
All right.
So 217.
I like the number you cited earlier, the 230, I thought was more indicative of. Am I missing something though on that?
Well, my 230 was assuming that 120 was mid-range in Powerhouse 2.
So he was off.
Was,
So you're saying 205.
That's what just, okay. In my mind, that was the default mid-range. Of
five for corner collector, and what's your leaky dam?
Powerhouse 1, powerhouse 2, and then miss is 12.5. Powerhouse 2 that we just said was whatever.
105.
Times whatever. And then
that's the mid-range, 105?
Sweet. So if you go midpoint, you're saying 15, 7 times that is 105.
You need warm.
Grab that chair there, you can get blinded by the light. Yeah.
So the mid-range is 105 at powerhouse 2.
105 is mid-range.
And the upper with 7 units is 18 times 7.
What are you saying about 18?
18 is the upper end of the
mid-range. That's like 126.
What header are you using for that?
50? That's just, it's going to fluctuate, but that's...
It's 103.6 if it's put in.
Yeah.
So it's pretty standard.
So powerhouse 1.
Powerhouse 2 mid-range, 103.6.
What's powerhouse 1?
Powerhouse 1...
Minus 11. Oh, powerhouse 1? At the upper end of 1%? Or
yeah.
I got 95.
95, and then we've allowed with the new Jim Keel table, you can probably kick it up another 17.
113 for best operating plan. Yeah, 50 foot ahead.
Yeah.
95, 113, and the midpoint of powerhouse 1? Or I guess it doesn't really matter.
None of these details matter.
Well, I'm just trying to balance the
look at the flow.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, really, it's the overall.
So there's two tracks of point that Gary and I are talking about. So there's the one is
on where you
once you get everything fully loaded,
right?
And once you get powerhouse one at your best geometry, your spill 100, powerhouse 2 at midpoint.
Just as much.
What's the next step from there?
You're talking tens of.
And that's going to be a flow pretty damn high. That's going to be 117 plus 100, 217 plus another 85. That's God. Yeah, over 300. That's over 300. So at that point, you guys are going to be the only ones that are going to be belly aching about why don't we put 30 more through powerhouse 2? And the rest of us are going.
We'll be belly aching too, unless we officially derate the units, because the course perspective, as you heard over and over again in 2013, 2012 was.
Don't tell me.
I will.
Are you going to what you're going to be telling me in like 6 weeks?
I mean,
what was that?
Say it, because I want to write it down.
Be into our brain. So just as far as when you have knowingly exceeding.
Okay, guess. It's a guess.
CG, everybody just get your tomatoes out.
Let's
knowing exceeding our CG standard.
And you saw my change form for Council Retrieval, so just checking out.
I did, and that, we can talk more about that.
No. We're going to talk about it on 24.
It's the same year that I was on. Let's not go down the road of gas for now.
Let's just
develop the best operation we think of for fish. Gas is going to limit it. VPA is going to limit it. Everybody's going to throw their limits on at the end. But I just want to get what we think is the fish risk here first. Get that out of the way. We're trying to come up with our triggers. We've got three of them I've thrown out there, and I still see that here. It's still there. They're still there. Whether we talk 10K here or 10K there, it still comes down to what risk do you feel comfortable with in shifting flow to powerhouse 1, and what risk do you feel comfortable with in shifting flow to spill. It comes down to those two issues. And we need to wrestle with that risk level, and we need to know, is there a actual shift in fish, adult fish, to powerhouse 1 with increased flow at powerhouse 1, and at what point does that scare us enough to say no.
So Tom, at the point you're describing, you have two options. You can either increase the first powerhouse to full with the geometry.
Well, there's two options. You can either go powerhouse 1 even higher,
right.
Or you can go back to powerhouse 2 higher, or 3, or you can go spill.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
I mean, I just want to point out that the glitch this year is that the first powerhouse, there is some restrictions on the first, the 4 and 115 units you could bump into.
That's another one. See, I'm still, let's not worry about that right now either. Let's go through what we think is the best world, and then these other limitations are going to come in.
So that's really
beyond our control.
Yeah. So, I mean, that checkpoint is the upper end. The lower end point that Gary and I are talking about is like, okay, what happens if you're at midpoint powerhouse 2, full spill, and then you're going to have to go to powerhouse 1? What would you do there? Would you go back to powerhouse 2 first for that 30K before you go to powerhouse 1 and knowingly take a juvenile impact to reduce the number of adults to hopefully reduce adult fallback? Or would you go to powerhouse 1 and just say, we'll just start fully loading that and get back to the point? And that's the one I am like...
Yeah, that's the big one. That's the big question right there.
So that's the biggest change in operation we'd have.
It is.
What flow is that at?
Well, that'd be 85 plus 100. It'd be 185 plus miscellaneous. What do you want to say miscellaneous?
11.5.
What was 11? Is that plus the corner collector?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's powerhouse 1 or 2 fully loaded. And
So 85. At the midpoint limit, as powerhouse 2 fully loaded and spill at 100K and whatever else is going on, no operation of powerhouse 1. Now, as we bring powerhouse 1 up, you know, that's the issue. Do you bring up powerhouse 2 or do you bring up powerhouse 1? That's the question.
Well, you have more flow coming than you now. So basically, you got to make a decision. The only thing you can do is you can only go up to 30K. The powerhouse 2 is fully loaded. Then you have to go to powerhouse 1.
Right.
And then you can start playing the game of like, okay, let's get 2 units back on. Then we'll start reducing powerhouse 2 again.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you know, that's a little different way I was looking at it a little differently, that you bring powerhouse 1 up a couple of K or a couple of units, thinking, okay, that's a minimal risk of pulling fish over there. But as you start getting more and more flow going over there, you're getting more and more risk. So then you go back to powerhouse 2, and you bring it back up to the limit.
Yeah.
You know, and to reduce your risk, and then you bring powerhouse 1 back up.
And this is all going
to
be...
And then you hit the top, and then you've got to go to spill. And once you go to spill, do you say, we'll bring powerhouse 2 back down and just let it rip all 30K plus whatever? Or do you leave it at that limit... Spills happening involuntarily, and at some point you're saying, you know, it doesn't matter at this point. We're not going to move adults anyway, so you bring powerhouse 2 back down to midpoint, and you just spill that additional.
Yeah.
And then you get, I know, gas issues, all the stuff, you know, but for fish, just for juvenile passage, adult passage, what would you best do? And then there'll be limitations that'll stop it. Yeah, I know that, but...
We're just talking about,
but you're laying out the best scenario for fish, and you lay it all out there, and then all these other limitations come in later. But that's something that, you know, that's a TMT discussion.
Thanks.
I don't have to be there.
You're saying number for the first powerhouse, use a specific flow or number of units or number of units at a certain
flow and the response of adult fish to that flow.
Okay. The thing that another place can't or don't want to go is to take the operating range and just fix it at one point. Specific and say one unit all the way up to full, next unit all the way up to full, and do that. Because a lot of times they'll put on 3 units to pass the same amount of water and then carry reserves or something.
I'm looking at risk of pulling adults over there. I'm not worried about how you run those units.
Yeah, total flow. And we don't have data enough to be able to say, like, what's the difference between one unit at a high load versus 3 at low. We have no way of knowing that.
Right.
Which is
right.
Worse.
So, no, I'm more trying to, you know, the data we have in front of us from Dave kind of shows that, gee, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of effect at powerhouse 1. The proportion of total powerhouse flow that goes to powerhouse 1 doesn't seem to affect the number of adults that go there.
There's a trend line, though.
But there is. And there's just, also, the trend line is real shallow compared to what I remember in the past.
It's like this, and then boom.
I mean, how do you pick a point on the trend line? That's tough. If there's an inflection point, it's easy. When it's just a line...
Well, you just say if you go this much increase along that line, you're going to get this much height out of your fallback.
Well, that's maybe where the model comes in.
That's where we'll put that number down.
Crank it through that.
And seeing where the fallout is.
But first, do we believe that line? I mean, I'm not questioning the line's not right.
I think there should be an increase based on the fact that the B1 priority and B2 priority in the past, that we've seen it. You would expect an increase.
And so would you, my question on the data is, would we throw out those low numbers of fish data points on there and then see what the line does? Is it more, and you probably did a second order type of fit to that?
No, it's linear.
It's a linear regression. Okay.
Excuse me.
Because, you know, honestly, it would probably be better to have the flow spread out over a couple units than just one main strong flow, because that's probably going to have, it won't be detected as far downstream.
That's much of an impact.
So that's what we're telling them. We have to spread out
every 2K per, then we got to do more buses.
I hate Bonneville.
Not only that, but it would be a cavitation.
Yeah, I know.
I hate Bonneville. So this really still comes back to the juvenile or the adult response to additional flow at powerhouse 1. What is it, linear? Is it curvilinear? I mean, is there a functional response there where you hit 30%, 40%, and all of a sudden, whoa, here they come. They smell it now.
So I'm looking at a change in proportion of about 6%, maybe 7% over there, additional to Bradford. If you have that, it's starting to look like with that 4% increase in bypass, you're starting to get into a problem. So we can find where that point is. You can find where that point is there. So it's about 0.07. So if you increase your proportion by about 0.07 at Bradford, you're looking at a negative. You can go up till that point.
The benefit
Where's
from juveniles.
Yeah, the benefit from juveniles.
Goes away.
Where's 0.07 in that?
Well, here, 0.07. See the negative on the rim up here?
Yeah.
See how it's negative? Oh. And then I go 0.07, and it's positive. 0.06 and on down, but as soon as you get to 0.08, it's negative.
What kind of benefit?
It's too much change
in
proportion.
Was this 2% decrease in juvenile bypass, or is this...
That's a 4% increase in the bypass.
Which is going to be a little high
side.
A little high side for spring Chinook. For Steelhead, it's probably, for them, it's probably a little low. And for Steelhead, it's probably about right. And Sockeye, God only knows.
For fall Chinook, you're not going to have any impact on adults.
But you're taking hits on spring Chinook adults.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, fall Chinook adults aren't an issue, but juveniles are.
So we got to figure out what we can do to the point that we start to shed 7%
is pretty small.
It's pretty small.
That's pretty small considering looking at the...
What is it according to this line, this trend line?
Or is it add on there?
How much would 7% be? You're looking at about 20K.
Got a headache here, Aaron? Asking why yourself you came.
Pretty much.
Do you want to go write my EIS draft comments for me? Like,
could you
draft
start
once?
At
trade off.
So if you want an increase,
you can just do both.
Yeah, yeah. seems to be the way things are these days. In fact,
which EIS is
dredging?
You can go all the way up to
the sediment management plan. I'm the only one who's dumb enough to write it, so I get to write comments up for the group.
But whatever.
You have to deal with my track.
Yeah, which is starting.
No, he's got CRC.
What do you think, Rick?
Huh?
What do you think? What's your opinion?
What is the store in a state of a 42?
Okay, well, we have one answer.
No, it's 103.
They are breakout time of day.
And they actually ran above
really
that.
I'm going to do the same thing. If you can leave, I can leave, right?
Yeah.
Are you taking all your cues from Rick now? Is that?
Yeah, I like that. I mean, looks like a good cue.
As good as any other, right?
Any other, because you got to hear it.
That's how we get it.
Don't fall back. I mean, you're not.
So, 1/3.
You got to weigh the options, Gary.
Yeah. Now, the question.
I get to go eat.
Actually, you change it
to like an hour 15
minutes.
Yeah, having this meeting at 11 kind of throws me off. My like regular routine.
Yeah.
Part of me.
Well, relatively quickly.
Well, the thing is, we can't remember, but it gets real. We can't take her.
Early was our chief surgery. We had like what we call fallback, and then we had provisional.
Oh, no,
any fish that fell back in 24 hours, if it went up, it went up for like 3 days and then fell back, you just count
some of those that are probably not related to the operations because they move way upstream. And then
we should carry that all the way through
24 hours.
I think we're going to do it in
24 hours.
I'll have to look at the data because we've always got more than 42 adults in one of
the bands.
We bounce along. I've got all the data.
So they're pulling back.
So the 10-year average in March, we wouldn't get to 42. Somewhere, you'll hit it. You will, but what day do you hit it? Before that, you still have
the only questions from the RT. Did they show
before that, how much run from the mid-range operation
time
RS too? After that, you don't.
Right. And what I'm thinking specifically
the question.
I don't need to release an IRC report early April.
Acknowledging that we're exploring
that's a concentrated number of fish that are highly impacted by the
honestly, we normally assume
so you didn't go as well. If you're automatically not going to run below the midpoint or at the midpoint, a little below. Because you got more than X number of adults per hour, then we're not going to have.
Do they stop and ask for fallback? Or do they fall back during the day as well?
I don't
quite. If they don't fall back at night, you have a night come operations. At least we can maybe take something up. Okay, at night.
All I'm saying about this, you guys, first number is what number you say during the day. Of adults, do we not care about this whole issue?
Yeah.
But we can run at the midpoint, at second powerhouse, without concern.
If you had all this world,
everything doesn't matter. There's not enough adults in the river for us to worry about this operation. So we're happy. They're not going to argue. Nobody's going to argue. It's already. It's just.
That's my assessment as well.
Because there's juveniles out there, but there's no adults. And then at some point, there's enough adults in the river that we start thinking we better start looking at this issue.
That was delicious.
That's
I knew I'd bring something.
I understand the issue, but
yeah, no, dude.
I'm just trying to find
it. I've got 20 more packages. Well, 19 more packages of that. That's why I go fishing with my dad.
Data.
My dad's a meat fisherman.
If we're going fishing, we need to make some proof.
Fish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I really do. I think it's going to be 50, 60, something like that.
That one is fall Chinook. There was coho and there's
we got fish in the river. The migration started. Now we've got to start struggling with the issue of whether we do.
I just went through all the fridge like, oh, I've got, I don't need huge fillets of coho this
That's all you're saying.
And the lemon at your house, too.
And big thick fillets.
Let's go smoke those.
Once you get above midpoint of Powerhouse 2, and 100 case of horse in there, plus miscellaneous.
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends on your risk of how many fish you're putting into Powerhouse 1.
She looks like she's being protected.
Plus, I mean, before you enter Powerhouse 1, you've got Powerhouse 2.
We just monitor the
midpoint. Spills already.
There's 105. I heard 105, and then 126, and 30. So that midpoint. So midpoint and spill, 205. No. Plus,
yeah, because there's still other variables that could possibly affect this.
And that range, so something with the now you're going to start saying more fish.
Because that happened to me once, actually.
Because you're starting
to not a day, well, because I took it into the computer shop, and they were like,
you backed everything else out. You're at your midpoint. You backed spill.
And I was like,
you got to go to Power
Rock. I ran it, and like, whatever. I was like, yeah, we'll see.
Just on the call.
And then he has a shave. Did you lose everything?
Yeah. Well, we're talking about doing that.
All my email messages.
Yeah, there's a big deal. Some of them
and how many? And how are you going to answer that question?
Which we then can catch up with.
With that.
Right. We can shoot that.
I can't answer that question.
Which ones are on the website?
Which
the
list? How do we answer that
question?
We need to have this data. I mean, these data would tell me that if you've got zero flow going through Powerhouse 1, you have 60% of your fish to 10%,
right.
Then you're up here, and you have 40% of your proportion going through Powerhouse 1, 10 to 60.
Right.
So now you like,
there's no effect. I know that's not.
All right, let's try to bring it back.
It kind of goes.
Let's try to bring it back to the okay. Yeah, I know, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Two fish, three fish.
As soon as Dr. Frederick's down here, he'll quit gabbing.
I'm just trying to bring people up to speed.
Yeah,
Where's this midpoint right here?
That's right. That's it. That's what we want to know.
So,
and that's Dave's job. Dave will show us, and then we'll all know the light. We'll see the light.
Yeah. Now, Scott did bring up a possible one thing we might be able to. He had the brilliant suggestion that says, well, do fallbacks occur at night? And that's something we can go look at. Because if they don't, then at least for, say, 12 hours during the day, we might be able to come up with an operation. Yeah, that would probably be more amenable to
them.
They
fall back at night.
You don't know that.
Yeah, they do. They fall back 24 hours.
They fall back in 24 hours.
They only go in.
They don't migrate.
That was the question. And that was the thing.
They do migrate at night.
No, they don't go.
It's entrance to fishways. That's night and day.
Yeah,
it's not. It's fishways, but it's not the river.
Well, that's the question.
We've all caught enough steelhead moving in at night spots where they weren't in the day to know that they move at night.
Now the only question is, do they fall back at night? And that's the only thing I don't know.
They're moving. Well, let's look at the data.
That's what I was going to suggest. Because that might be the easy, quick, easy out. Like, hey, we can
to do a day-night operation.
Because then we come with a day-night.
Then it's floating.
Still, your juveniles are 24 hours.
Oh, well, yeah, but only impacting half of them.
True.
At least we dust the impact by half on the turbine.
True.
And then we're still going to have to deal with where are these thresholds. Like, once you get to the slower threshold, like, okay, we're now like 220. Now what do we do? There's still going to be that question hanging out.
Well, because
And then there's the question at the upper end, once you get to 300, where everything's fully loaded.
So far, this summer, I think it's going very well. Everybody broke out again.
I know.
So let's start with that.
So,
okay.
I know you have a question.
I got to find you so I can actually.
You're going to want to go back to Powerhouse 2.
Do they stop moving?
But that's only 30K.
Right. So,
how much is 30K really going to affect Powerhouse 1?
Right. That's the question. So
I don't think it's much at all.
So the question we got, if
I say fully load Powerhouse 1 before I go back to Powerhouse 2.
Dave's just babbling. Awesome. No, I think we might be able to come with like a day-night operation, depending on the fallback data. So that's something I think we could all move forward to. I think that's the one thing we could get a coalition around if the data proves that out.
A coalition of the willing?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Donald Rumsfeld.
Coalition of the walking dead.
Yes, you do the analysis with the data you have, not the data you want.
And the hard part to implement those, do you have loading? That's more detailed.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we'd just be changing things around. We'd be just changing where we move.
Well, you go from the spillway to the powerhouse if you were spilling it.
Yeah.
It depends on where flow is. I mean, this conversation is always difficult because it's all depending on what your total flow is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying 24 hours, I mean, because basically at that point, we could say, like, okay, now we can go to midpoint, and you could go to Powerhouse 1 without it.
Sure.
And
that's
something
we're trying to focus on the fish. Yeah. As it turns out, fish don't exit the ladder. They can't get sucked back in, is our theory, as they go around the island and go straight back down. If they're not coming out, then they're not going to go back down either.
Yeah.
So there's potentially a gap where there's some period of time where they're
that's
not.
It's a little bit simplistic.
It's optimistic, but hey.
Optimistic and simplistic.
It's optimistic, but hey, I'm looking for anything right now. I'm looking for anything.
You are. You're too giddy about this one.
I know. Maybe there's something I can write off. So there's a possible 24-hour operation. We need to take a look at fallback data. The second question is going to be is like these checkpoints of once we get to midpoint, powerhouse 2, and full spill, what's the next step? That's going to be question number 2. And how do we going to, where do we go from there? And the third is going to be, once we get powerhouse 1 fully loaded, up to, I'd even say up to generation 1%, we'll start there. Spill, well, what they're saying outside, they're saying best geometry, which is about an additional 17K. And then you have, the next point is going to be is full spill and powerhouse 2 at midpoint. What's your step from there?
Yeah, do you just...
Those are the three...
Spill go, or do you just bring powerhouse 2 back up?
Yeah.
The rest of the way. And I know what you guys are saying, but I mean, this is, you know, for, what's the best for fish, and then we'll get
so
into
that. At that point, Powerhouse 1 is fully loaded at...
I'd even say go to best geometry.
Yeah, at best geometry.
Right.
Powerhouse 2 is in the mid-range, and spill is at 100 kcfs. And the question is, what do you do?
Yeah. Do you
you're already affecting adults as much as you're going to affect adults, right? So now all you have left is females.
No. Well, see, there's two trade-offs, because you could put the water at powerhouse 2 and it have a negative effect on juveniles, mm-hmm. or you could put more through the spillway.
And have an effect on adults.
Because there would be a potential effect on, there's the potential of, like, what's the difference of going from, say, 100 spill to, say, 120 spill in adult fallback? And then that's where you started playing the trade-offs. And I think Trevor said, well, no, that was for just proportion of fish.
Don't switch the proportion more than 7%.
Yeah, well, that's the proportion, but we've already done that. If powerhouse 1 is fully loaded, you're not going to change the proportion at all.
It's not fully loaded. There's still another 10K you're playing.
Actually, you put in the spillway, you might believe that out.
Yeah. So the question is you're not changing the proportion at that point. You're changing the fallback rate, and that's where you take a look at. What's the fallback rate at that level?
The delay and fallback rate, as you mentioned.
I looked at before the reascension rates, and you look at about a 3% increase per 100 kcfs of spillway flow. Mm-hmm.
Per 100?
Per 100.
So if you're at 100?
Scale of 100.
So
scale of 100 down to what?
20?
20.
That's diddly over poo.
One-fifth of 3%.
Yeah. I've never even done one-fifth of 3%.
Good thing you're an engineer.
Yeah. Wait, 0.2 times 3? What is that? That's what, 0.6? Christ, that's...
0.6? That's a half a percent?
Yeah.
Half a percent of all the Chinook in the river, or half a percent of all of those fish who go past Powerhouse 1?
It'd be half a percent of fish using Bradford Island.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see, for Chinook, it was a 50% reduction in where they're going.
Reascension, or ultimate survival.
Ultimate survival, and 8% of steelhead.
That's a hit.
It's pretty small.
If there's a lot, that's not... Not if you're talking a half a percent of all the adults that are passing.
Well, of that powerhouse.
Of that,
and that's going to be 30-40% probably.
Yeah, of 1,000 fish or whatever, and you're going to get high numbers of fish passing per day. That's still a number to deal with. Does your benefit outweigh that number? Your juvenile benefit? Considering how many juveniles it takes to equal an adult.
And how are we calculating the spillway survival versus the turbine survival?
From the performance test.
Yeah.
Performance test.
The data we have.
So you're saying increase the fallback by how much there, Tom?
Well, if it's if we say it's a completely linear thing,
I'm going to turn this back to zero.
So if it is completely linear, then we said you said 3% over 100, mm-hmm. and we just said 1/5, which is 0.2. So 0.2 times that's 0.6. So 0.6%. So 0.006.
That's just proportion.
No, that would be.
Oh, fallback. That's actual. Fallback.
That's fallback, and then you're going to take that 6%. Well, and your thing calculates out the final destination, right?
It's 0.06%.
Yeah, 0.006.
0.006.
It's not even 4%. Yeah. Where's your rim?
Look at the rim.
I'm not even going to make a bad job about it. Some sort of jobs with rim.
Hey, it's better than turd.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
So you're still on the plus. You're still on the plus from doing that.
See, we're the only generation.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like gone.
It's a very small plus. We're looking at 0.1% increase.
So very small plus. And that would be a 20K. That would be 20.
But that's assuming no change in proportion.
You're assuming a linear response. Too,
that I said that.
I heard it. I was like, okay, I doubt that's the case.
A linear response to fallback.
Yeah.
And that's always been the question: is it linear, or do we see like fallback, and then it just levels off? You don't care.
Higher and higher and higher flows. It's a smaller amount of flow through the spillway because it's a set amount. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not going up with flow. So.
Yeah. Well, no,
linear? Probably not. It's probably curvilinear.
Well, that's the question. When you guys did your fallback, you guys just think you guys didn't try to break out like high flow event, low flow event, fallback, because we probably didn't have enough data to do that. Because there's probably different.
Just 2012.
Yeah.
High flow event electronic.
Yeah, it was high the whole time.
Probably your hard drive.
You have the same kind of batteries, but
it's about ready to blow up as a lithium ion.
Those are all the Dreamliner.
Yeah, I know. No problem there. 30,000 right feet. Stinks. Fire. No problem. Got a backup system for that.
Run away. So what? How do we move forward?
I don't know, Tom. You're the boss here, right?
No,
I'm just throwing dirt in the air as much as I can.
Yeah, and you're doing a fine job of that. I didn't know you had a combine over there. So I think the one thing we can hope for is take a look at fallback, see if there's an hourly correlation. If there's a day night operation. If there's a potential for day night operation, I'm grasping at anything I can right now.
Well, I think first thing I'd like to know is. From Dave's standpoint, if you throw out some of those, you know, set a lower limit to the number of fish per day so that you don't have an undue weighting of those 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, 10 to 10 maybe, fish days, then look at that data and see if that changes our shifting
honestly,
distribution.
Take a look at this, because you know you don't have 10 fish at this point. So yeah, it might get rid of some of that noise, mm-hmm.
but
it's not going to get rid of that. And that's still pretty noisy.
You can turn his regression into
plus, those are all semi-monitors, right?
You can turn the regression that he's got on the shotgun plot to weighted regression. So you're still including the small days, but they're not getting...
You can re-weight them, yeah. That I'd like to look at that just to see if there's anything there that changes our perspective on this thing. If not, then you start wondering whether it matters, whether the powerhouse runs or not. Which is pretty weird after all the years of data that we have from RT. That's
and considering we actually have operations in the FPP, too. Actually, right. When you have too many fish at powerhouse.
We have priority powerhouse too.
What do you do?
Yeah,
shoot
because
the powerhouse
of this one. Whole issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, it doesn't make sense. So,
well,
I really want to look at that because that's what it's telling us. The data laying in front of us says, oh, looks like a shotgun to me. And then you would say, well, leave it powerhouse 2 at mid-range and just run it that way. Adults don't matter.
Well, the data is just insignificant early. I don't think it means anything other than this. It's insignificant. You still could have an issue.
Well, how do we pick something, though? I mean, there's the data.
We have data from the U of I studies that concluded that it is a good idea.
Well, then we decide which data we
use.
That
data is probably stronger than that.
You have to make a choice on what data you're going to use,
right.
And then you're going to have to use that as your basis for making that decision. So, you know, and why not use these data, and why do you use those data?
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing that we were just talking about is dividing out the species here, because this is lumping in steelhead, early season steelhead.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a good point too, Jerry.
So separate out the steelhead and
Chinook. I'd really like to look at Chinook because that's been our biggest concern. What I'm most concerned about is these fish falling back on that steelhead.
The question is, and steelhead had a higher fallback rate than spring Chinook, right? If my memory of the data serves correctly.
Yes.
But for what period? I mean, every month this changes.
It does, and there's not a lot of steelhead there.
There's not a lot of steelhead this time.
They're just real early.
I mean, honestly, steelhead, I'm going to... It's the early steelhead the ones are going to really care about, because steelhead in August, there's not any sea lions, except for the three between Bonham and Liddell. That's another issue.
The resident sea lions.
Yes. Our new resident population.
We got there.
But that might get rid of some of the noise too, because those are small steelhead numbers to start out with. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's key, because otherwise we would do exactly what Dave wants and just run this thing at mid-operation the whole season.
Dave, as much as you love getting work from us, would be is one, I think, do a weighted regression and then break it out on steelhead and spring Chinook. No. Honestly, when's our next meeting that we're supposed to down?
We're down the pulling screens. Tom, get control.
It's like the 29th or something like that?
29th is when we're supposed to get together and write this, so if we could have it before then, so we could actually take a look.
And that doesn't mean the 28th, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry, for sending this for Dave. Yeah, you were sick, my ass, Jesus. You probably had flooded basements or something like that again.
This is a tough crowd, right?
Yeah, you probably had a sick kid, that's... Not lucky you. So, I guess I will take on the 24-hour fallback, take a look at the hourly date on that, see if I can find it. I'll take that one. See if there's something there, because that's something we can maybe all coalesce around.
You know, one thing we could look at the pit tech data is that ladder exit, the last coil at least.
Mm. And then see if that, take a look at the last coil, and then see when it reascends.
Yeah, we would see what, you know, maybe the telemetry data has the average time to fall back or something like that.
Well, you'd have two things. You can look at the overall population of pit tags and say what proportion are exiting
by hour
at night, but also of all the fallbacks, what proportion of those guys are exiting at a certain time of day. You're worried more about
the reascension.
Yeah. You got enough pit tags for that?
Yeah, that's true. We could look at that.
Got what you got.
You work with the data you have.
You go to the analysis, the data you have, not the data you want. I'm going rumscale today.
So the assumption is that
I'm going rumscale.
Every fish that fall back, that falls back, is unaffected by any of the operations of the dam, so they all have equal chance of coming back up the ladder at the same time.
Well, these are just reascends. So
well, the reascension time.
The assumption would be. I mean, you're stepping out on a little bit of a ladder, saying, "Look, if you're a reascending fish, you obviously were a fallback. The best we can do with a pit tag is look at exit time. So you're kind of assuming that that fish falls back relatively around the time that it exited too.
Well, what you're looking at is
a big assumption.
Right, and then you're assuming he's turning around and coming right back up the ladder, not spending a day or two.
Exactly. We're just looking at that exit time and seeing if it's different for reascending.
If you use
the late
in the afternoon exit times, and they're reascending early in the morning, probably fell back during the night.
Well, you don't care when it reascends. If you've got a population of reascending fish and you somehow find out that 90% of those fish that are reascending, I don't care when they reascend, but 90% of the fish reascending exited at night, that might mean something.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, not much, because they could have fallen back at any time.
I
think there is, if you look at the exit time and the reascension time, and they had to have fallen back that night.
Right. So they again, look at fish that fell back, if you exited at night and they came back at night, you know that they fell back at night.
Most of them reascend within 24
hours. But your data set's going to be really small.
Yeah,
what I was saying is you look at the pit tag exit times. You have a lot of data points for that.
Right.
And then try to couple that with the telemetry time to fall back to get some idea.
Oh, I see. So if you think they all fall back, then the problem is from the telemetry, if I remember right, there was those immediate fallbacks and there were fallbacks the way
we broke
out
it out.
River.
We broke it out. We said all fallbacks in telemetry. If we said there are fallbacks, there's within 24 hours.
Right. So you have to look at that. Well, you've got that already.
But
you have to break it down even more.
I don't know, but there might be a distribution.
If it's really high within the first hour, that works. If it's 24 hours, that works.
Yeah. But it seems like, you know, as inquisitive as the U of I guys are, you could give them a call and they would probably have something.
That's pretty, what I was going to do.
Oh, there you go. Pretty good on that.
Do you think I was going to actually go do this analysis? Oh,
I bet
they
probably even written a paper on it.
Yeah, they might have.
They probably have one in published publication process. Hey, if you look at Canadian Journal next week.
Yeah, peer review.
Yeah. By the way, could you peer review this for us?
They have a pipeline.
Yeah, so I will check out that one. And then I get, the question is, how are we going to get to this issue of powerhouse, two midpoint, spillway fully loaded, plus additional, and then at that point, how are we going to make a decision on what we're going to do from there?
So I think you just put a bunch of numbers in a hat and you pass them
around. Okay, good to know.
Jerry's going to stabilize.
So that's the question, and then so I guess Dave's analysis on his proportionality of fish. Once we get that, once we get that, then we can say, yes, fancy.
Well, that was like a big word, like mayonnaise, man. Proportionality. Wow, you just did that.
I just pulled that out. Yes, I did. I can pull out draconian later if you need. I'm at thesaurus on today. It's awesome. Shut up. So, once we get the proportionality from Dave's work, that will, I think, give us information.
That would help.
What do we do from these checkpoints? If we see that there just really isn't a big correlation, it's like, yeah, there's some general trends that, yeah, once you put more flow of powerhouse, when you're gaining some more fish, but it's not really strong, then it really comes to the point, it's like, well, screw it.
Do we then go to powerhouse priority goes out the window and we run whatever feels happy at the
time? No, because... Well, because honestly, corner collector,
it's a corner collector.
Corner collector is the over. That's the safe factor. It's like you want to get reached through the corner collector,
right?
And that's why I want
to change your.
Then it becomes back to juveniles. Like that's four juveniles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And
we
a low flow
message.
And in a low flow year, when you can have no flow powerhouse one, that's probably better than not.
There's other reasons.
Yeah, there are. Because I'm not.
But we just have to be careful of where we go on and it doesn't suddenly throw out a whole bunch of data that we were using before for no good reason.
So long and short.
Capricious
yeah.
Well, quite seriously, that's what we don't want to become tagged with, is being capricious with our data.
Yep.
Because we've slammed hard on other entities when they became, oh, percent here doesn't matter, percent there doesn't matter.
Well, we did. We actually used Trevor's fancy dancy model.
I understand. But
that was the best analysis we came up with at the time. We said, hey, if you've got a better analysis, please go at it, show us how to do it. We'll gladly review
the data.
You go have these conversations.
Yes.
Yeah, so I can relate that some of the salient points of the analysis would be how would you characterize the.
I'm looking at, if you just look at the juvenile bypass survival of an increase of 4% for spring Chinook, we're looking at the cutoff point of what proportion of adults going over to B1 and how that impacts fallback. Mm-hmm. We're looking at a 7% increase in proportion going over to B1. That's pretty much going to outweigh the impacts to juveniles.
The benefits to juveniles.
Okay, 7% of adults.
Yep.
So if you change that proportion, So that's kind of the take home message.
If you know that the operation you're going to do is going to change 7%, then you probably say, hey, let's not do it. So and then the other thing was, is we said, even if we put 20K through spill, with all the assumptions of your model, it was still a slight juvenile benefit?
Right.
Okay, assuming the fallback is linear, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And that depends on the proportion of adults present. I'm using a fixed proportion of adults that I averaged the entire month of May. If you have far
proportion
fewer adults...
Proportion or no?
Proportion to juveniles.
Oh, proportion to juveniles.
Yeah. Yeah, relative to juveniles. Yeah, so if there's hardly any adults, that's a big, it makes sense, no matter how many adults you run over there.
There aren't enough of them to affect.
Yeah, there's not enough of them to affect.
Right,
but if there's a lot of
adults, conversely, if you're at the peak of the adult run and you're at the tail end of the juvenile run, then you might say, hey, let's not do anything to do that. So that's going to be the other...
Yeah.
That's going to be the end season.
It's really adult-driven, though.
Well, that's how I'm looking at it.
They're just going to go up and down.
So that's going to really do. So that's going to be the in-season management aspect of this. I see, and it's like saying, like, hey, we're at a point. We're going to change this. What's going on with juveniles and adults? Is really things like, it's good. We should change it. Oh no, we shouldn't.
How does this account for numbers of adults and numbers of juveniles again?
It uses the, which I realize isn't the most accurate thing, but it uses the index. Smolt index and adult counts at the latter and uses that ratio.
Okay.
Yeah, we should re-examine that idea with the passage index versus some other measure. Something yeah. greatly underestimates the digital
right.
population. But I want to look at that a little bit.
Well, if it's an if it's proportion, it's okay. If it's numbers, then it's proportion, it's not okay.
And that's what and it's right.
Yeah. It is numbers too.
To proportion.
Yeah, because you know you don't want to go into the index. It's just an index for Power House too.
Numbers of adults.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the index. But it's using the index as your estimate.
Which is an underestimate.
Which we know is probably
off.
Yeah.
Well, Bonneville's not bad. It actually would be a pretty good estimate. If Powerhouse 1 doesn't run, because you're using the 1-to-1 spill ratio, which is probably pretty close to right at Bonneville. It doesn't include FGE, I realize that.
Yeah, no, if we looked at the total estimated juvenile passage at Bonneville.
Oh, it doesn't include corner clutcher either. That's a big difference.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're missing a lot of. And so
we are.
What you could use the index for is like a, of the total,
rate.
What proportion are mm-hmm. passing at that time period.
That's what it's for.
Yeah.
Yep.
So but you're comparing that to an absolute
NOAA
number.
Produces like an estimate. Well, they used to produce every year an estimate of the total juvenile population
for a period of time or over the entire
for the season.
Yeah.
So that's you can use the passenger index to weight the passenger in that time period.
You could do that.
Yeah.
Or you could just look at adults as
that's
a
only
proportion.
That's waiting to happen.
That memo is usually
that might be a little
years behind.
Yeah.
Then when is the
that's okay.
Problem?
But we can use it for 2010.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, we have a smaller. We don't see this problem being the problem all the time with living
right.
in the second powerhouse.
Oh, no. It's an all the time problem.
But the fish aren't of the right size all the time.
Well,
Lyle's data showed showed spring
River.
Chinook and steelhead, Runnel River, had the same problem as spring creek, just not quite as.
Not as severe.
Dramatic, but there's still a problem. So, I mean, this just isn't a Spring Creek issue.
It's a lot worse for them. But
it's worse for them, yeah, because they're such weak fish.
And it's worse for sockeye. The magnitude is different for those two.
Yeah. And then steelhead, then spring chinook.
No, I don't think steelhead ever showed
it. Okay, so it's just spring chinook.
They just feed them weedies.
Sub-yearling chinook, yearling chinook,
and sockeye.
Okay.
Oregon moist pellet.
The yearling Chinook, the magnitude of difference.
Probably just do that. They don't use that small,
but it was still there.
Who knows what you're using?
Well, I don't know what they're using. It's like a 2%, I think.
1.5.
Look at new things all the time.
And that was.
Hang on.
That's over the raceway.
All right, so take homes. I will take a look at the hourly fallback rate. Dave, you will get us. You will do some magic. Or have someone at your office do magic. Jerry. do some magic analysis. You guys take a look at the take a look at the Powerhouse 1 proportionality.
Once in a while, just to scare them.
What else? Predators. Gary, what else is the critical stuff we need to get? So I'm going to look at 24 hours. They're going to look at Powerhouse 1 proportionality fish. We're doing the analysis. See if there's a...
I'm going to try to touch up that smolt index number.
Okay, you touch up the smolt index. What else is the critical stuff we need to do?
Exit times as well. For the pit tanks and
if you want to do that, awesome. I will not stop you. I will get you more smoked salmon if you do.
We need that.
No, that's what I'm going to do. That's my first thing to do is give Cadell a call.
We need that initial trigger number, whatever we think is an important number of fish that gets us into the operation.
Do you know what that's going to be?
Well, what I'm going to look at numbers and just see what we have passing on a daily basis.
Adults.
I don't know. I mean, it's just.
I know.
At some point, you can you say it's an issue.
Is in April, so.
Right.
He's saying number of adults in the ladder. And what's
be sure
that
to look
critical?
At temperatures, because that has.
See, the
stuff.
Thing is, if you don't think there's
Brandon,
that many,
you're just
if you have a release like Spring Creek and there aren't many adults, then it's not an issue to worry about. At
well,
what point do you start worrying about adult passage?
I know. Well, that's through Powerhouse 2, through Powerhouse 1.
Yeah, through Powerhouse 1. In the river total, which becomes Powerhouse 1 as a portion. Because otherwise, you don't have to get into this argument.
Yeah.
You can just let it slide until that point. And then you start doing the analysis.
So what is it? So we said, if you have 50 going through Powerhouse 1, we have an increased fallback rate of... Or we have fallback...
You get like... Or something like
so,
that.
Yeah, so
maybe it's one fish that falls back.
Gary, if you can slide it that way, you might be corresponding to the. If the flows are high enough, you're going to be spilling more anyway. And so there's a chance you're going to get what you want just because there won't be enough flow, and that's what the river has to do anyway. So that'd be great if the two would fall on top of each other.
Yeah.
What?
I lost you there.
You have to have a high enough flow to where you have to make a choice. And if this trigger takes you sometime into late May, your flow might be so high that you're going to get that spill anyway. And then in May, June, you run out of load sometimes, so you shut turbines down anyway.
This is all going
to
be.
Well, that's the question.
Point anyway.
Are you guys able to move?
Yeah, we're looking at flow on the flow rates too.
Because we're talking about 220. If you're in that condition where you have to do
that, that would be the other. That's the other way to get at the same operation. From your standpoint,
what it's happened more recently in the past couple of years.
Do you get buy-in from us, or you can say we're doing this? I mean, that's the question, the rolling reserve question, because that could get this operation without us having to have
it.
So if you're going to have this,
we spill it, John.
So what concerns me is if you have this policy in place, that means for the period of time we have millions of.
My understanding that that wasn't a viable long duration commitment.
Right. To a good point.
It does occur a lot. It's something you can do when you're doing it.
But it's true. You have it right.
But it's not something you're going to say for sure on the past 2 weeks. Okay. It goes on and off during the day.
Now you're going to have to run your model for. Is this based on a daily basis?
It's not something that once it's on, it stays on for weeks.
No. So
from a planning standpoint, it wouldn't be a very way to ensure the commitment that you'd have a viable operation.
No, but by doing that, you can say, hey, we're more likely to have this operation occur than not.
And it would minimize the impact of the course
back entirely. It's going to occur anyway, in a sense, because there's a loop.
Or we'll hope for a lot of wind.
No, we're not going to plan on that. Oh, if we knew about it, of course, there's probably some headings in the region where that would also be the desired operation, so then you started getting into priorities.
Dallas, we're fine with Dallas. John Day, we haven't even talked about that. We're doing 30-40 at John Day. McNary, you can't move the drill and reserve to McNary because you don't have the capacity. So then you're going to go to the SNP. You're not going to move that. So I'd say Bonneville makes a lot of sense to do that, and that helps out this operation some. And we don't.
It makes a lot of sense. I guess I would just worry about the implications that would come from that.
I'm saying we don't have for someone to change for. You guys do that on your own and say, hey, by the way, we moved Rolling Reserve to Bonneville.
Right.
Awesome.
I know. Disregard everything anybody's ever said on this meeting.
You get rid of the fly out of here?